let's do this right. Come on. You all have your noisemakers? Ready? Can we do a not a fumble, but a Happy New Year? Come on, ready? Happy New Year! All right. Like in 13 hours, you'll get your time. It's so good to see each of you today on this December 31st, 2017. Here we are, gathered to worship the living Lord. There's so much that is on our plates at a time like this. Every year, as we approach that clock that counts down to zero, we find ourselves thinking of the moments past and the hope of things to come. So let's show of hands. How many of you would say 2017 was a phenomenal year? How many? Come on. Not bad, not bad. Okay. A little sparse. How many of you would say 2017? Out of here. Get out of here. Come on. Leave me alone. Yeah, there's even more hands up. What is it about us that we say friend or foe? We say, you worked with me well in 2017, or you really created this vacuum for my life. I don't know what it is, but we do it every year. And then we get to this point at the end of the year where we kind of put it all behind us and we turn our attention to what might be the hope for. I believe it's all predicated upon success and failure. Were we successful in 2017? If so, thumbs up. If we had failures, thumbs down. And maybe, you know, we're indifferent because we had a little mixture of both. But I have heard from people many, many times, they can't wait for the new year because things will be different. But that's how we see it. It's our eyes. And guess what? What I see as a success, you might see as a failure. And what you see as a failure, I might see as a success. And so we carry around with us these human vision codes that we take our journey from what's past into what will be the future. And we all bring our own perception fields into that journey. And so if we think about failure and we think about 2017, we want nothing to do with it. But sometimes failure can be the catalyst that will change your life. If you want a good book to read on failure, a book by John Maxwell called Failing Forward. If you read the lives of many huge people who are successful today, they all had a code of failure in their life. They did not let it overwhelm them. Sometimes we think success is the only way to go. What is that about us? That we want our vision to be our vision. It's baked into us in our sinful behavior. Because I think things would be radically different if it wasn't just about success and failure, but rather it was about what God wanted. That we would head into 2018 trusting God. And you might say, yeah, I do that. I'm not talking about sometimes trusting God or while you're sitting in a chair in the worship center trusting God. I'm talking about knock down, drag out every day. Your focus is, I trust you, God. I am who you say I am. And it could change the game for every one of us as we head into 2018. If we took God up on his desire to be our vision. And we forgot about our successes and failures, and we just entrusted all of it into his care. There are thousands of people in the Bible, thousands of stories. They're life stories just like we have a life story. But the one thing I'm sure of when I back away and look at every one of them and measure them by whether they were successful or whether they failed, those who trusted God always succeeded. It didn't mean that they hit some hard times. They did, but they always succeeded. And those who never trusted God, there are many of their stories in the Bible. They crashed and burned. And one thing I know about every person here today, as we walk from 2017 into 2018, is you want your life to be filled with something of significance. God teaches us that He can bring that to us. And all you have to do is be willing to receive it. I believe the epicenter in the Bible for understanding what God wants to do in our lives comes from the book of Acts. The second chapter leads us to a place where, if you remember, Jesus has been crucified. He has now shown Himself to His followers, many of the sightings after the resurrection sightings. And now He's ascended into heaven. And when He ascends, He says back to His fledgling group of people, "Trust me on this. Let me lead you into the next phase of your life. I'm going to send to you, if you wait for me to act, I'm going to send to you the Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the one who will make your life complete. Trust me." And on that day that Acts 2 just frames so wonderfully, where fire comes and wind blows and the Holy Spirit infuses the lives of people. Peter, if you remember Peter from what you know in the Gospels, he was the one who wanted to walk on water. He did for a couple moments. He doubted and he fell into the briny deep. We also know Peter was the one who said, "I will never deny you, Jesus." And he was the one who denied Jesus. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, he's fired up. In fact, it's amazing the words he uses. He reaches back to the Old Testament prophet Joel, and he says this: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your old, they will dream dreams." And this moment happens where the Spirit comes into this fledgling group and it empowers them, and the church goes bonkers wild. People are baptized. They come to know who Jesus Christ is because of one thing. They trust God. They stand before God and they say, "I am who you say I am." And they believe it. And they act on it. Powerful things happen. I mean, think about it. They were accused of being drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And people say, "You are like out of your gourd crazy. You must be drunk." Peter says, "We haven't had any wine yet." "Yet," he said. "We haven't had any wine yet." Now tonight, there will be people who you may look at who you say are drunk. Could happen on New Year's Eve. Would it not be wild, beyond our human imagination, if everyone looked at us and said, "You're drunk," but we're not drunk on any liquid. We are drunk on the Holy Spirit. We're different. We've changed. We've looked at the past, and it's gone, and we're looking at the future, and it is God-blessed. And it all begins with trusting God. The wisest man who ever walked on the face of the earth wrote several of the books of the Old Testament. His name's Solomon. He was asked before God. God said to him, "Ask for anything you want, Solomon." And Solomon said, "I want to be wise." And He said, "You're wise." If you dig deep into the book of Proverbs, you're going to find these powerful words that Solomon shares. Just want to read a few of them for you today. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." It doesn't say He might, or if you're a good person, He will establish your plans. Just commit your life to Him. Trust Him. One of my life verses I use often, and it just seems to resonate in my soul to keep me calibrated and on point, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight." Trust God. I am who you say I am, God. You know me best. Use me. But there's a word of warning that comes from this wise man Solomon in Proverbs 29. It says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. It's not about our human vision. It's not about what we see in the past as success or failure. It's not about what we will see in the future as success or failure. It's about what God sees. What God sees in us, sinful, broken people that he wants to redeem. And about us standing before God and say, I'm in. That we take one step after another into 2018, and every day we say the same thing. I am who you say I am. But what do? We make our New Year's lists. Have you started one? I mean, you may have physically written it out. Maybe it's logged into your brain. You've begun to think about it. There are news stories which are pushing us in that direction. Maybe you have a document on your computer or on your phone. You're keeping a list of things you want to do better in 2018 than you did in 2017. And for many people, that is get in shape. Some are drop a few LBs. That's always a big one, you know, lose those pounds. For other people, they may want to read more. Maybe they want to spend more time traveling, spend more time investing in relationship with their spouse or their children, work less. There's a whole laundry list of things that we put out there, and they are traditionally real. They're not fictitious. They're real in our soul. But the best way to describe this is to use the image of any fitness gymnasium center on January 2nd. If you go to your gym that you go to all the time on January 2nd, you will not find a treadmill or an elliptical. There will be SRO, standing room only, and you will get frustrated if it's something you do 365 days out of the year. But you will find this place crazy packed. Come back in 2 months, ghost town. That's our journey. When we see things through human vision and we measure what we want and where we go, we set our list and our list disappoints us. But I know that when we trust God, majestic, marvelous, powerful things await us in 2018. What are they? Don't try to put them down on paper. Trust Him. Stand before Him on New Year's Eve at midnight, and as you say Happy New Year to everybody. Say this too. I am who you say I am. Use me, mold me, and shape me. What might it look like for each one of us to do that? I'll give you some examples, and you can add to it as the best that you know from Scripture and through conversation and study and just allowing God to breathe deep. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do is to get back to that great commandment that God gives to us. In the Old Testament, it's known as the Great Shema. In the New Testament, the Great Commandment. First thing, love God with a wild heart. Not sometimes. All the time. And we need to be intentional to do that. So I have a couple examples of things that you might want to do in your life to love God more. One will be the first thing you do when you get up in the morning. Do not reach for your phone. Do not even reach for a cup of coffee. Find yourself with your Bible and a devotional in a chair, the same chair every morning. Give God at least 15 minutes of your time when you begin to recalibrate what you were thinking the night before you went to bed, and the first thoughts you think at the beginning of the day. Read some scripture, read a devotional, just sit quietly. Let God breathe deep into your soul. I can tell you, if you do this every day, your life will be different. It won't be the same. You won't get as frustrated. You will be a hope-filled person focused on what God wants, a joy-filled person. If someone calls you someone who's stodgy and angry all the time, that'll go away. That'll be in the past. God will breathe deep into you who He created you to be. Just give Him some time, and He will recalibrate your soul. Second thing I would encourage you to do is to pray a prayer every morning before you leave the house. I do this with my wife. It's our joint prayer. We don't leave. If I have an early morning, I get a phone call later on. Come on, we have to pray together. We pray over the phone. And we pray for our kids. We pray for our day ahead. We pray for the safety of God to be with us. Just the things that we pray for. And then we pray this prayer. God, use us today. Use us. You know us. You know the people we're going to meet. If there's someone that needs our attention, if there's a way that we can plug in to a situation and bring hope and promise, use us. Amazing when my head hits the pillow. How many times if I retrace my steps of the day that I've had, the things God has done. Because I prayed that prayer. Love God wildly. Second thing, love other people wildly. And I'm not just talking about, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you today. Yeah, I care about you. I'll pray for you. No! Get involved in their lives. Bring hope to them. Talk about them. If they have a pain, sit and listen to their troubles and embrace them and help guide them along. Be kind. We say we're kind, but I wonder if that kindness is rooted in hope and joy and love, the things that God's kindness is rooted in, or is it just in the obligatory, hi, I haven't been mean to you, so I must have been kind. And that is not a quotient that works in God's kingdom. Be intentionally kind to other people. Love them before you love yourself. Another thing you can do if you really want to trust God in your life, be a part of what he calls the body of Christ. This is his son who we celebrated a week ago, who came to this earth to be the savior of the nations. And that son says to us in scripture that the church is the body of Christ. Wow. When you step back and even contemplate that for like 2 seconds, this is a sacred place. But oh, we'll go into 2018, and maybe one of our New Year's resolutions, go to church more. The national statistics, and I think it's getting worse than what it was a year ago, 1.7 times a month people come to church now. You might be saying that's amazing. I don't know. You don't have to come to church just because you have to come to church. You have to come to worship the Holy One who calls you into his presence, who wants to change your life, who wants to make 2018 and beyond the best it can possibly be. And you can't do that by choosing other things above God. You can't do it. And so when you make choices that are above God to do other things on Sunday or Saturday night, we have worship then. If you don't have a Sabbath, you're choosing other things above God. It's that plain and simple. You might say, well, you're telling me this because you're a pastor of this church and you want to see us here. Wrong. I'm telling you this because I want you to be the best that you can be in your life in 2018 and beyond. And the way to do that is to become part of the body of Christ. Intentionally serving and giving and connecting to the vision that God has laid on this place. For 8 years or so, we have had a vision that has done things in this place that have blown our socks off. The vision of Good Shepherd: reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all come and love to serve God. That's a great vision, and it would be mere words if we didn't put it into action. But every thought about ministry, where did Fusion Ministry come from? It came through that vision. When we think about our Sparks ministry and worship and anything that we do, like Hesed House is signing up right now, it comes through the vision. We want to reach people in these walls who are spiritually distracted. We want to reach people outside these walls. And when you're part of the body of Christ, when you give your time and you say, I'm committed to be in church every week, it changes your life. And you will become the person that God originally created you to be. I am who you say I am, not who someone else says I am or who I think I am. I am who you say I am, Lord. And I become the best me when I connect to you on a regular basis. We have an opportunity for you in 2018, to get connected to the vision of this church, to the body of Christ, to loving God and loving neighbors as yourself. And we're going to have in 2018 a revolution. You ready? You ready for a revolution? Are you ready for a revolution? Come on. Like, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning right now, and you guys have already said Happy New Year. I mean, if you want your life to change, I think God has given us the doorway to go through. If you get to this place in 2019 and you say, whoa, 2018, what a waste. Shame on each one of us if we say that. Because our God has this invitation of a lifetime. He says, trust me, come along for the journey. And so this revolution is to learn more about how we do life, and it connects right back to the early church. Remember what he said to the early followers, the disciples, follow me. We're going to look next week at follow me from Jesus. Then we're going to look the next week, serve with me, learn from me, become like me, be empowered by me, and be sent by me. And I got to tell you, I do believe that'll make a difference if you come and connect. Now you might say, well, I'm going to be in Naples, Florida in 2 weeks. Good for you. If you enjoy the warm weather. But you can connect to the messages here online. They're there for podcasts. You can download them to your phone. You can fire up our app. You can listen to them through there. It doesn't matter how busy you are. You can find time to set aside to trust what God's saying to you. My pathway is straight. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me. I will help your 2018 go crazy wild with good things. They'll be my things. But good things, and you'll prosper. When I look back at all of this New Year moment, my mind and heart kept going back to a short scripture passage from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you heard that? And I kept going back to that, and I was thinking to myself, that's the New Year journey, isn't it? We think yesterday, we think where we are now, and then we really look future. So I'd like to unbundle that in our closing moments of this message for you to think about Jesus Christ being present yesterday, today, and forever. What is he saying to yesterday? I believe what he's saying to us is set it on fire. Set it on fire. You can't go back. Don't burn bridges. Know where your foundational pillars are. But set all of the things on fire that seem to just kind of trace with you through life. If you've ever gotten into a new year and you found yourself saying, I'm not going to do that behavior pattern anymore, and you succeed for maybe a couple weeks or a couple months, and all of a sudden it starts to show itself again, welcome to the club. But when you set those moments on fire, great things happen. This came to my heart through a podcast that was sent to me and then drilling down. If you have one of your New Year's resolution to read more, Irwin McManus, pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles, his book is The Last Arrow. He went through a situation where he had some cancer in his life and he worried about his future. And he thought, how can I be the best person? If I have one arrow left in my quiver, how can I shoot that well so that God's kingdom will be forwarded? And one of the things his daughter kept saying to him while he was working, Dad, you got to set your past on fire. And I know I have junk in my life that I carry year after year after year. Some of it I know about and some of it I don't even know. If you've ever read any Brené Brown, she is a psychologist and PhD at University of Texas in Austin, I believe. And she just has this great, Daring Greatly is one of her phenomenal books. She talks about each one of us as human beings carrying shame with us on a regular basis. It's sometimes baked into us when we were little kids. And her desire is to leave that shame behind. It's the same Christ desire to leave it behind. Why does Jesus say, bring your troubles to me, all you who are weary? My yoke's easy, my burden's light, but you bring your troubles to me. What is the cross all about? He died so that we could be renewed and refreshed. Sure, we know from the book of Romans we're sinful and fall short of the glory of God, but we know when we bring all of our garbage, all of our scales and barnacles and all of the junk that we have, and we put it at the foot of the cross, we are forgiven. And God brings us new life. Set your yesterday, all the junk, on fire as you enter into 2018 and allow God to be present in your life. Today. Today matters. Roughly 13 more hours to the end of 2017. It would be easy to kind of write that off and say, well, nothing can happen in these days except getting ready for the party tonight and 2018. And you'd be wrong. Every moment, God says, is sacred. And every moment is a moment you can change and make a difference. You can put into action that trust. You can leave this sink, this place of worship today, and you can head out, and you can have that I am who I say that I am mentality. Just doesn't have to happen at midnight tonight. And if you do that, God will do great things. Amazes me as I watch sporting events how many times in the last seconds or minutes of a game, the game changes. In basketball, it would be called a buzzer beater. Place goes wild because in the last second, the game shifts when a three-point shot is hit and it puts the other team where the other team was leading in the position to win. Football amazes me in the last minute of every game that I watch. The majority of those games shift sometimes in the last minute. When they don't, usually it's because the other team has given up. They say, well, there's no way, there's no possible way we're going to do this. I wonder if sometimes we go into every day thinking, well, there's no possible way that I'm going to change the world today. And God's saying, wait a minute, I'm right here by your side, the same way I'll be 5 weeks from now. And sometimes we think, well, God won't show up until 5 weeks from now. No, I'm with you right now. That today is as important as anything that you will think 2018 will become. And I'll encourage you today to leave this place of worship, loving God wildly, loving other people wildly, making a commitment that you're going to be part of the body of Christ, sold out for the year to come and beyond, and that you are going to go on a revolution to change that behavior pattern which gets you into trouble. And talk about the future. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's really our sweet spot where God wants us to live. Do you know the reason why you're on this earth is not to become more popular or wealthier or filled with more stuff or to set your name on some kind of panel at some hall of fame? It's to ready yourself for the kingdom to come. It's been said that where we are right now is preschool. It's elementary learning for God's kingdom to come. I believe that. I believe he has a place for me someday in his kingdom. I believe there's a banquet table, as Isaiah writes, of the richest food and the finest wine. I believe the best is yet to come, but we make the best about this turf where we're at, and we need to care for the communities that we are a part of on this turf, but it's to point to the kingdom to come. And when we lose sight of that, we lose sight of God's master plan. And we set ourselves in a little box someplace, forgetting that God says all things are possible. Trust me with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me. Entrust to me your plans. I will care for them. So happy New Year. Happy New Year. You know, it really doesn't matter. What matters is what you choose to do when you leave this room. What matters, are you willing to say, I am a child of God. I am who you say I am. And that will be your driving point. So I'm going to tell you this on this New Year's Eve. Lose control. I did tell you to lose control. lose control so God can take control. Let God breathe into you his vision. That's what he desires. It's not that hard to do. We need to have willing hearts. And we need to know that when we connect to his vision, the young will see visions and the old will dream dreams.
Another year has started, and all I can think about is what I didn't do last year. I don't make New Year's resolutions, because honestly, who keeps those? They were made to be broken. But I do have dreams, and I do have desires for great things that I want to accomplish. And I'm not talking about dropping a few pounds or watching less TV. I'm talking about doing something that would change the world we live in forever. Do you ever have those kind of dreams? Just think about this. What if you could save just one person's life this year? You could rescue someone off the streets, help someone struggling with an addiction, or maybe you might be the one to adopt a child into your home who needs a family. I've heard it said before that if your dreams don't scare you, then they're probably boring to God. This year, I want every day to count. I don't want to believe that I can make a difference. I want to actually make a difference. This year, I want to start every day with a simple prayer. God, use me. Think about where our world would be this time next year if everyone would pray that simple prayer every day. Think about how our world would be changed. This year will be different. I'm ready. Are you?